giving me this opportunity to preach to you today. I'm glad to be here. I love your pastor. He's a dear friend. I love Zach. He's a dear friend. I talk both of them several years in school, and I appreciate them and what they stand for. Good friends back in the back. Terry and Ed Van Landingham, we've known each other for years, and I'm glad to see you at this church today. And thank you for coming to hear me preach. But you know enough about me. I've come to preach a sermon this morning, and that's what I'm going to do. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8. Turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Old-fashioned message this morning, as it's entitled, What You Must Understand to Be Saved. There's a lot of misunderstanding in this old world today about salvation. So I want to share a very simple message with you this morning. What you must understand to be saved. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. Sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I? As someone guides. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll bless the reading of your word. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior today, that he or she will turn to him and believe before this day is done. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of Philip and the Ethiopian is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It vividly portrays an enthusiastic, evangelistic man of God witnessing to an unbeliever who is struggling to understand the Scriptures. Philip is confident because he understood what the world needed at that time. And that is the good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And don't you think we need a little good news today every now and then? He knew what the world needed. He knew the world needed the gospel. So he ran to this man. And I believe that we, God's people, should be enthusiastic and confident because we have what the world needs today. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the good news. And we should be excited, enthusiastic, and confident sharing the gospel with people. And it's good news. People can be saved. They don't have to pay for the price of their sin. They can believe that Jesus is the Son of God and gain eternal life. Now the Ethiopian, no doubt, had a problem. He couldn't understand the Scriptures. I've been there before. So Philip ran to him and asked him, Do you understand what you are reading? And the Ethiopian replied, How can I unless someone guides me. There are two principles we can learn from Acts 8:31. First one is non-believers. Those who haven't believed in their heart that Jesus is the Son of God need help from Christians to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the second thing we can learn from this scripture is non-believers must understand some things to be saved. Non-believers must understand some things to be saved. In our politically correct world, some will disagree. Because they'll say, "Now, you're just overlooking too many people and you're not being religiously and politically correct when you say there's only one way to heaven." Well, I don't care how politically correct you think I am or religiously correct you think I am, there is only one way to heaven, and that way is Jesus Christ. And there's three things you must understand if you're going to be saved. The first one is this. You must understand that you are a sinner. People don't like to hear this today. But if you want to be saved, you must understand that you are a sinner. I can see this Ethiopian sitting in his chariot reading the scriptures. He's a lost man. He doesn't understand what the Bible is talking about. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. And look, guys, if you don't know Christ, if you don't have a relationship with God, you're going to have a difficult time understanding the Scriptures. Because the Bible says, the great Apostle Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." So here is this man. He's sitting in his chariot. He's not a believer. He may be steeped in some kind of Judaistic religion. He had been to Jerusalem to worship, probably at Pentecost. And now he's trying to understand the scriptures, and he can't do it. And so he's struggling with the book of Isaiah. I mean, I tried to preach through Isaiah when I was a young preacher. It didn't take me long to realize I didn't know what Isaiah was about. And I was a child of God. Now I can preach through it now that I'm older than dirt. But I want you to understand, if you don't know Christ, you're going to have a hard time understanding the Scriptures. And so, as this Ethiopian was reading Isaiah 53, Philip ran to him and he asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the Ethiopian replied, "How can I except someone guide?" Philip immediately pointed out something to this man. He took the scriptures that the Ethiopian was reading, which is Isaiah chapter 53, and he read to him these words: "He was wounded for our transgressions." Get that word, transgression. "He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." What are these scriptures saying to the Ethiopian? They're telling him that he is a sinner. Look, if you don't see yourself as a sinner, probably you will never be saved. Because as the Bible points out, there is none righteous, No, not one. As the Bible points out, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as the Bible points out in Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not a just man on earth which does good and does not sin. This is an important point. If you want to be saved, the very first thing you must understand is that you fall short of the glory of God and that you are a sinner. What did he say? You have to understand. If you want to be saved, you must understand that Jesus died for your sins. This amazes me. The Ethiopian is reading from Isaiah chapter 53. It says in verse 32, the place in the scripture which he read was this. He, this lamb Isaiah 53, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now this prominent man sitting in a chair reading the scripture seems to be confused by the scripture. And he asks them, whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Is Isaiah talking about himself, Philip? Is he talking about someone else? Who is this sacrificial lamb? Who is this lamb that bore my iniquity? Who is this lamb that died for my sin? I love the way Philip handled himself here. He took the scripture. The very same scriptures the Ethiopian was reading, and look at verse 35. He opened his mouth and he preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus to him. Look, guys, the message the world needs is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The scriptures, in fact, revolve around Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, the scriptures speak out about Jesus. Isaiah 53, the scriptures the Ethiopian was reading, are all about Jesus. The message of the Bible and our message is a message of Jesus. He loves us. He came to this earth. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead for our salvation. And He's sitting on the right hand of the Father today, making intercession for your sin and for my sin. That is Jesus. Look, who's He talking about, Philip? He is talking about Jesus. And it doesn't say that He calmly spoke to him about Jesus. It says He preached. Jesus is the word, the message that the world needs today. What was true for that Ethiopian is true for us. What was true for that Ethiopian is true for you. You must see that you are a sinner and understand that. And you must understand that Jesus died for you. Not only must you understand that you're a sinner, not only must you understand that Jesus died for your sin, but you also must understand that you have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God if you're going to be saved. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Philip gets up in the chariot with this Ethiopian. They're riding along, and evidently Philip has completed his witness. He made him aware of his sin. He pointed out that Jesus died for his sins. And so the chariot passes by some water. And the Ethiopian asks him, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being Before Philip agreed to baptize the man, one important condition had to be met. He understood he was a sinner. He understood that Christ died for his sin. And in verse 37, Philip told him, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. This man had to believe that Jesus is the Son of God before Philip baptized him. And he couldn't just believe intellectually. There are people all over this world say, "Yeah, I believe that Jesus lived and died. I believe there was a man called Jesus." That's not what I'm talking about. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, from the very innermost part of you, the deepest part of your existence, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Let me tell you something. You can believe intellectually and still split hell wide open. You see, the demons believe in Jesus. James wrote, "You believe there is one God, you do well. The demons believe and tremble to be saved." The Ethiopian had to believe in his heart that Jesus is the Son of God. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, "But what does he say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of God of faith which we believe. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You may be saying, "Well, Brother Robert, how do you know that this Ethiopian believed with all his heart that Jesus is the Son of God?" Look what he told Philip in verse 37. He said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And when Philip heard the Ethiopian's confession, verse 38 says, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him." He wouldn't baptize him until the man said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." How can we be saved today like we've always been saved? We must see ourselves as sinners. We must understand that Christ died for our sins. And we must understand that we have to believe in Jesus Christ, that He's the Son of God. Once we understand, that's simple. You know, water baptism is important. But I never really appreciated appreciated my baptism until I got older. And studied the Bible enough to know what baptism truly is about. When I studied Romans 6 and understood that great chapter in the Bible, it thrilled my heart to know that my water baptism doesn't necessarily mean that it makes me a, quote, missionary Baptist. My water baptism pictures the baptism of the Holy Spirit who regenerated me and saved me from my sins. I'm not baptized for salvation. I was baptized because of salvation. I went into that water saved. But that water pictures what the Holy Spirit did to me and for me when I believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so when we look at water baptism today, I want you to be excited about it. Not just a ritual that we must go through to become a member of a church. Something that's special. That is an outward expression of what God has done for me. An outward expression. In the desert wilderness, the Ethiopian was saved because he understood three important principles. He understood that he was saved. He understood that Jesus died for his sins. And he understood that he had to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he did believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Because the Ethiopian understood these things, and because he acted on them, he was saved. And look what happened after he was saved. Verse 39. After he was saved. When they came up out of the water, when you're baptized, you get wet all over. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he, the eunuch, went on his way. Guess what? It's all right smiling, church. We shouldn't look like a 1960s school board. Are you saved? Do you have joy in your heart? Do you have joy in your life? I mean, sometimes you go into a church, and maybe they think we preachers are just going to jump on them or something. I don't know. But sometimes you go into church and you wonder if there's any joy there at all. Look, when this man understood that he was a sinner, when he understood that Jesus died for his sins, and when he understood that he had to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he was baptized and he went on his way rejoicing. Listen, the Christian life is not a laborious life of rules and regulations. The Christian life is a life of freedom we have in Christ, and it is a life of joy. Smile and enjoy your relationship with Jesus Christ. Smile and enjoy the relationship you have with the Father. Smile and enjoy the relationship you have with your brothers and sisters. The Ethiopian went on his way. test here today. I don't know you that well. I don't carry your net well. But everybody else here other than Zach,
prepare for an invitation.
I can't look inside you and tell what your boss is saying. God can, but I can't. But I can tell you this. If you have never been saved, you'll see yourself a sinner, repent of those sins. Understand that Jesus Christ died for your sin, love Him for it, and believe with all your heart that He's the Son of God. You're going to leave this place a child of God today, saved and secure around the table. If you haven't done that, this is your time.